What is going on, guys? This is Brendan Burns, and welcome to the Brendan Burns Show. Join me as I interview, dissect, and share the stories of high performers who have created the life that they deserve on their terms. I sit down with speakers, professional athletes, and successful entrepreneurs from all over the world who have chosen to live a life of fulfillment and joy over status and money. In each episode, I share actionable strategies that you can implement in your life, plus inspiration along the way. So come join me for this episode of The Brendan Burns Show.
Are we there?
Hey, Bo, what's going on, man?
Close right there. Hey, how you doing, Brendan?
Looking good. I like the setup.
Well, you know, I go back with your grandpa and your father.
Yeah,
I crossed all the generations.
You probably know them better than me, and you talk to my mom now too, right?
Yeah, sure. Your mom's my attorney. Yeah.
You know, I joke around because my obviously you know my mom does, and my dad, a criminal lawyer. I say, hopefully, I can get through my whole life without needing either of them to represent me for him. Yeah.
Well, I've heard some pretty good things. You're doing very, very well. And, you know, I listened to your last podcast there and very, very interesting. And it's just funny that I saw what your education is with all the Ivy League schools, very proud of your education and all that. But, you know, I was in the police department for 15 years before I got hurt and then I had to retire. But a lot of people with business, I've started this business almost 40 years ago after I retired. The only reason why I was able to catapult more so than any other retired detectives, I was a homicide detective, some of the big cases I broke. But one of the reasons was Nick Pileggi put me on the cover of New York Magazine. Nick Pileggi was the one that wrote Goodfellas, Casino, Irishman, and all that. And basically, I cheated a little bit because I catapulted by being on the cover of New York Magazine. And then I was able to meet people that I never thought I would meet. Also, I have one thing that everybody wants. Since 1977, there's a restaurant in New York City called Rao's. Yeah. It's the place you can't get in. I've had a table since 77. In the article, he put that I have this table every Thursday night. Now, the article came out when I retired in 1986. All of a sudden, I started getting phone calls from Jack Welch. He was the head of a place called General Electric. They called him Neutron Jack. Ken Langone started Home Depot. And I could keep on going. Some of the Redstone, we know who he was. Everybody in the world, I thought they wanted to be my friend and be with me. And a guy named Ron Perlman, who had this little Revlon company, and McAndrews and Forbes. Everybody was calling me up. I thought it was because of me. It was because they wanted to go to dinner at Rao's. And this is a true story.
They wanted the lemon chicken.
Yeah. And basically, that was kind of the thing that catapulted me in and all my career. And then I started meeting with Sylvester Stallone, Al Pacino. Everybody wanted to play me back then. We're talking about in the 80s. Yeah. And just fast forward, I started the company. I didn't really start it. I started getting phone calls. Bo, I want you to do this. I want to hire you. Now, I was going to go maybe work, become a director of security. I said, you know what? I could do it on my own. And this is going to transpire now. Transpire. Is that a word? You got to remember, I'm a high school graduate.
I think so. Pulling on my law degree here.
How about it'll translate into this two different avenues of thought and success? And I work with both. I have a CEO who's the has MBA, William and Mary. I mean, really, analytics are these words that I didn't know what the frig an analytic was. But he does very well. But there's always something I always convert back to. My experience in business is that you have to be on top of it and you have to keep getting new business. You can't sit on your hunkies and listening to you from your podcast. You have a lot of clients that are using your services as far as you guiding them, but you got to keep getting new ones because you might lose one, two a month, but you have to have three or four more to bring in. So in my business I'm in now, the investigating and security business, I keep teaching my people, no matter what you say, You've got to keep bringing new business in. You've got to be networking. You've got to network out there. You've got to make people feel comfortable that you are the person that's going to help them with whatever problems they have. And we can convert it right back into what you do.
Yeah.
And what you do is important. And it's something now utilizing the me generation. Are you the me generation or the now generation? Which one are you?
I'm a millennial. That's all I know.
Okay, so I got grandchildren. So I got my son who's 30 years old. My son Bo, who's doing very well with real estate and all that, and he's like he went to college and he hates Trump and he's politically another way. But I'm not a political guy. I'll be honest with you. All I care about is success for guys like you and every American here. And look at we are now in a realm of this social media and what's going on. It's enormous, the amount of fortunes that are being made. I dabbled in that Bitcoin stuff. Scaramucci is a good friend of my Anthony. I'm a very good friend of
Nice.
him.
Well, so, sorry to interrupt. I'm just curious. So you talked about kind of this networking stuff, and obviously what you did with Rao's and some of the CEO relationships was huge for your career. Did you always kind of innately have that ability to connect and talk to people? And what advice would you give to someone that maybe doesn't have that, or maybe they label themselves a little bit more introverted?
I don't know. It became very easy for me because of that one New York Magazine article. I'm very upfront with everything. I don't bullshit people. And when I retired, we were very fortunate to be around some of the biggest cases. One was a rape of a Roman Catholic nun in a convent where they carved 27 crosses. They raped, sodomized, they put brooms on. They left her for dead. It was labeled by Mayor Ed Kutch at the time the most heinous crime in New York history. My partner and I, on our own, no task force. We got one in Chicago, one in New York. Front pages of every newspaper and every newsreel. But the only problem was there was a jealousy with the chief of detectives because they didn't break the case. So I went through controversial things. They shipped me to the ass end of Brooklyn, and now I become a homicide detective. I lock up hard work. That's going to be the common denominator, is not be lazy and hard work. Now you could be successful. But you're not going to be successful if you don't work hard and you keep getting and keep taking. Don't be lazy. So now they ship me to Brooklyn and I'm doing homicides. Well, I'm not doing homicides. I'm arresting people for homicide.
Oh,
And
yeah.
then some guy kills 10 people, the Palm Sunday massacre. Eight of them were children under the age of 12, all shot in the head. I get assigned to a task force. I work as hard as every other detective, but I think I worked a little harder. I was named as the arresting officer, and only because of my hard work. And then I got the notoriety of locking this guy up who committed
How
a
did you
lot.
catch this guy?
Oh, it's a long story. It's
Sorry,
just
yeah.
it. My partners that were working on it. I was part of a task force of 200 detectives, to be very honest with you. I didn't do it myself. We worked together, and I was very fortunate. Again, I was noticed for the hard work that I did. Everything I do in life, including the business I run now, hard work. But then I went through a little bit of a lull because 85, 86, I had the article. I started doing the Morton Downey show. I started being flown to California. I started doing movies. I started getting involved with a lot of things, but I wasn't really focused on my main business here. And I brought ex-cops in. And a lot of ex-law enforcement people don't have that eye of the tiger. They don't have that hunger. And the best people I've had work for me were non-cops because when a cop retires, they're getting their pension. So whatever they do ancillary is going to be extra icing on the cake. So they're not working that hard. A lot of them, I've met some that work hard, but again, we're going back to working hard. Now I end up meeting a couple of people. I open up a dot-com company, a cybersecurity company. We sell in 1999 for $200 million. I'm not paying attention to Bo Dietl Associates. I have a couple of chiefs of police running it. And these guys that don't know from business, all they know is they're going to get their check regardless of what they do. I call it civil service mentality. So really, this is my heart and soul. 40 years we're going into it, but I was off on private jets. I was a spokesman for NetJets, flying around on my G4, my Citation 10, pissing away money like it was crazy. You know, you sell a company for $200 million. You're a kid that never had anything. It was an idea of how do I piss away $80 million? And I invested into some bad investments. But the reality was, I then had another vice. And I'm not ashamed to talk about it because I want people to know, because you mentioned in your podcast playing poker, playing with the gambling. And I've spent and lost tens of millions of dollars gambling. Because when you have credit lines of a half a million dollars in every casino in Vegas and Atlantic City and everywhere all over the world, and they're flying you all over the world. And then when you're playing baccarat for $15,000, $20,000 a card. That's sickness. I don't care how much money. That's sickness. How about you betting football games, $20,000, $25,000 football game? Because you had this money coming in. I was making $8 to $10 million a year, just getting checks. I couldn't get rid of it fast. I had no sense of holding on. Then I had a partner who was in the real estate, Stephen Witkoff, which I raised hundreds of millions of dollars for his investments. And I was the stupid Italian. I should have been a smart Jewish person. I was a dumb Italian. And when he would tell me, Bo, you got a piece of this, you got a piece of that, I trust people and I still trust people. But the reality was, I should have just put all my money into real estate investment. And I would, could be a multi-billionaire today, but I'm not. And I work every day. I'm 73 years old. I go to work every day. I'm very happy. I take charge of things that are occurring, of investigations. We're doing a deal with the richest place in the world, Saudi Arabia, very soon again. I've been there two dozen times in the 70s and 80s. So when you need capital, the Saudis are the ones with the capital. I'm sorry to say they are the ones with the cap. Not sorry to say. They got born on these things that were bubbling, not just water, they were bubbling in oil.
Well, yeah.
And it's a country that I'm looking forward to working with, and with their investments to try to do due diligence. That's another thing, is that's one of the areas of our company. We do due diligence on who you're investing into. So we look at their backgrounds, their lawsuits, what kind of credit stuff, what kind of things they have, what kind of business they were involved in, what kind of criminal nature they were involved in. And so that's where we're at today.
I love it. So, hey, you have this great energy and big work ethic. That's what I'm pulling away from our first kind of 10 minutes here. Did you always have this, or like, where did that come from in you?
You know, and I always say, when you describe, because they want to do a documentary about Bo Dietl. Who is Bo Dietl? And some famous people like Nicholas Pileggi, Ira Rosen from 60 Minutes, the executive producer, 60 Minutes, that won more Emmys than anything. And we're working on it. But, you know, again, you've got to focus. The energy is, I always describe my life as three different things that capsulize my whole life. I developed an enormous strength, physical strength, when I was in high school. Back then in the early 60s, John Kennedy got whacked in 63. And they had the Marine Corps, John F. Kennedy Marine Corps Physical Fitness Group. Five kids in every high school would do pull-ups, push-ups, sit-ups, squat thrusts, and run these five events. And they would com we'd compete against high schools in our area, in our state, in the East Coast, and then we would keep compete nationally. And we were the number one team in America in 1967, 68. I was the number one individual high school kid doing push-ups, pull-ups, sit-ups. Now that's one of the legs of the stool that I say. There's three legs of this stool.
Yeah.
So when I became a when I was in high school, high bar, parallel bar, I had to be the best. The only thing I wasn't the best at was studying. I hated homework. I wanted to go to college. I wanted to be a gym teacher. We didn't have no money. So I grew up with John Gotti. Everyone knows it, the father, Scopo. And then when I was a kid, we had a big surge of heroin addicts that were Italian young men who were sons of these mafia guys, and I was the only kid that was built like a brick shit house who the fathers took a liking to me. And I was my dad was born in Germany, my mom was Sicilian, born in Sicily. I'm a first generation, but my father, used to give me beatings every day because he knew he had to keep me in line. So the only person I was ever afraid of was my father. This is the truth. No man in this world did I fear. No gangster, no drug dealer. I went after Nicky Barnes. I'd go after anybody but my father. But he taught me respect, honor, and hard work ethics. So I started working when I was 12 years old, sweeping factories out because we had no money. So just work, 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 work. And that was it. So that ethics was with the exercising. Now I'm in high school. I'm number one in the country. The only thing is, I graduated at 17. All I want to be was a gym teacher, Springfield College. They wouldn't accept me. My marks sucked. So I couldn't go to college. We didn't have the money. So Ralph Scopo had me as a concrete laborer. I started off with, it was like being a slave. And then I worked hard. I made all the overtime, grab everything, worked hard, work, work, work. Then Ralph Scopo comes to me, says, they're building two towers downtown called the World Trade Center. You could be an iron worker, Bo. I said, what does an iron worker do? He goes, don't worry about it. Get a stud wrench, go down there, meet Black Mike, and you'll be an iron worker on permit. I started working on the World Trade Center. And I took the cop test when I was 16. And I never wanted to be no frigging cop. The only interaction I had with a cop is them beat me up with a nightstick because I was in the park after dark. And this old Irish guy beat the living shit out of me. And I limped home. My father said, what happened? All I had to do was say cops. He gave me another beating in an hour for another hour when I told him I was involved with cops. So my life, I was a tough kid, but that strength and that toughness led me on when I become a cop
Why'd
eventually.
you become a cop if you had that bad experience?
Well, you don't want to know something. I was on the World Trade Center. I was up about 60 stories. The wind was blowing. I saw four people die on the construction sites that I worked on. Very dangerous. They didn't have what they call today OSHA. The only ocean was the fucking Atlantic Ocean. They didn't have OSHA. Now you have the protecting things, safety belts, and all that. You didn't have that. So I saw guys that were 25, they looked like they were 45, weathered. And I said, is this one? Let me try this cop shit. Real fast to the chase. I'm standing on the roof of the academy in gray uniform. I go in because they say if you don't take the test, if you don't go to the academy, they call me three times, you're going to be knocked off the list. I said, let me try this cop shit. I see a guy going up a fire escape two, three blocks away. He wasn't a fireman. I run off the roof of the academy. The sergeant is yelling, Dina, where you going? It was like lights were going off. Yeah, I had to do this. I run there, I jump on a fire escape. I chase people point. I chase the guy down the street. I give him a couple of shots, headlock. He robbed two rings out of it. It was like the beginning of what I could do for people. I love helping. I hated bullies. I used to, because I was a little guy, I was only 5'8", but I hated bullies. When I was in high school, I used to kick the shit out of bullies who were bullying people. And I love helping people. So now this cop stuff seemed like wow. So I also became one of the original decoy cops in the early 70s, where I was mugged 500 times. I would dress up in a seersucker suit, act like I was drunk, and I would get beat up, robbed. I was stabbed. I was shot at. I was hospitalized 30 times, fractured skull, broken shoulder. So I was the best that I could be at being a cop. Then I became the homicide detective. So it was all about that hard work, that work ethics of working hard, like what you do when you're a consultant to people, trying to help people with business and all that. I think the most important thing is when you're talking about getting new clients and only you one phone call a week, bullshit. Make 10 phone calls a week.
100 a day,
Instead of
man, it's
taking
rampant.
it, and I'm going to tell you right now, instead of
Let's
making
go.
it $300,000 a month, make it $3 million a month.
Let's
Don't
go, man.
stop, Brendan. Don't stop.
I love it. I love
And
that.
it's all about not laying back on what you got, grabbing more, and having that eye of the tiger. When you wake up in the morning, don't lay back. And this bullshit, oh, I go to the gym. Half these idiots that go to the gym, they walk around, they bullshit, they're on their cell phone. They don't even get a workout. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Yesterday, I had an epiphany. Is that a word?
Epiphany.
Okay. I had shoulder surgery, my rotator cuff. I had all kinds of serious stuff, right? All of a sudden, yesterday, I haven't hit it in 25 years. What I do is three times a week, I do was doing 90 push-ups straight through, good ones.
Wow.
And then I would do ab circles, 200 of those. I would do curls and all that in my apartment. Now I have a two-floor gym downstairs. I don't go there. I do it right in my apartment. I knock it off in 6 months. Yesterday, I'm doing push-ups. I usually hit 90. Yesterday, I hit 90, and I says, you know what? We're going for it. And I hit 100 push-ups straight through for the first time in 25 years. I'm 73 years old. It was the greatest thing that happened to me, and I don't know what it's all about. I'm gonna show you something. I'm not an advertiser. This shit works.
What
This
is that?
hydrogen water, whatever the hell it is. I've been drinking this for the last couple of weeks. I can't talk more about it because this is the only difference between me and 90 push-ups to 100 push-ups. I don't know what they're doing with this shit, but I'm telling you something. I hit 100 push-ups yesterday, and I'm so happy of that. I feel like I just hit the lottery. So again, hard work, keep going, strive for it. Don't be satisfied with what you got. Move on.
Yeah, well, I've read that before, that kind of, and experienced it obviously, that the physical strength, the workout, and the lifting specifically, building muscle, can give you that better energy for business. Did you know that growing up, or is that something as your career developed, you just knew?
No, and when I was a kid before I became a cop, and when I was in high school, all I knew was to do the most push-ups. I was doing, at that time in high school, I was doing 40 pull-ups and I was doing 180 push-ups. But to be 73 years old, like yesterday, I keep going back to it because I'm so proud of myself and I'm not a fucking narcissist. But there ain't many 73-year-old guys that don't go to the gym and all that that could do 100 push-ups. Now, I told you. I don't go to the gym. I do it in my apartment. And I live in a beautiful apartment down to two floors. One is cardiovascular shit and the other one's strength. I don't even go down there. I just in my apartment, I get it done. 1 half hour, I knock it out, and that's it.
I love that, man. That's inspiring. So you have this other great quality where you're very good at giving yourself credit for things, giving me credit. Right when we came on, you were acknowledging me, which I think is a really important skill in life. People like to be built up, right? In business and relationships. Were you always kind of supportive and kind to yourself and others, or did you develop that
No, and
component?
like I have a company where we have a big security division. I probably have 99% minorities. And when guys work hard, I compliment them. And I think it's a very important thing of being successful is let other people recognize their abilities. Because if you don't reward in the, even reward, you don't have to financially reward them, but give them a pat on the back. Let them know they're doing a good job. That means a lot to them. Now they work with like one of my guys, his wife has got cancer, double mastectomy. All of a sudden, I call up the chief surgeon from Sloan Kettering, who happens to oversee it. Next thing, he's going to be in there at the operation for his wife on Friday, and the guy goes, "Oh my God, Bo, it's phenomenal." But these are little things that you do that make somebody happy. It's not a hard thing to do, but you got to reward and you've got to praise someone who's working on, like the way you're working. I mean, you built something out of nothing, and someone would look at it and say, "What kind of bullshit is this, consultant? You're going to tell me what to do?" But what you did is really rewarding to you. But don't stop at 100. Go past that 300, go to the 1 million a month, and then
Yeah.
we'll have another podcast. And you'll say, you know, boy, I started doing push-ups and I started doing this, and now I'm up to 1 million a month. I'd be the proudest guy in the world.
Oh, 100%. I'm definitely committed to that. And we're going to do the next podcast in New York in a studio. We're going to be doing push-ups together. Because I could do probably about 50 straight through. And that's
But
tough.
good one. Now, good ones, right?
Yeah, good form. But at that point, it's funny, actually. I used to go to Equinox, that was my gym in New York. And me and my friend, he used to be a trainer there. We would knock out like 40, 45, 50. And then one time this big janitor saw us and he just, with all the keys hanging off his waist, he's like, "All right, man, let's see what we could do." And he cranked out like 46 good ones, just cold off the street. You could tell he wasn't, yeah.
Well, when I was 50 years old, when I was doing 100, and I'm 73, and when I was 50, I was on a boat in St. Bart's, and I had David Treve, the guy from Baywatch,
Yeah.
and Pamela Anderson, and all these young guys. I had Joey Marino, and all these guys in great shape, young kids, like in their 22, 23, at their peaks. And we're on a boat, and they're like, bet me. I do these push-ups, these extended on my head push-ups. So all these big built guys are there, and we're on the boat on a private yacht. Pamela Anderson there. They said, "Oh, Bo." I said, "You guys are gay shit." I said, "I'll kick your ass in push-ups." "Hey, right, Bo, right." I said, "I tell you what, do as many as you can." And I knocked out that 100. Like I could have been sucking on a soda. And they were like, just, oh my God, oh my God. And also with arm wrestling, I was a New York State champion in arm wrestling. And that comes into play again because when I was a cop, no one could beat me. I used to take on the Jet football players, Mr. Universe, Harold Poole, Joe Spooner, because I had the technique down. So I had a bodyguard company when I was a cop with the Saudi Arabians. So I used to travel with them all over Europe, and I used to arm wrestle the big Lebanese bodyguards. I'm a little guy. I was no more than 185, 190 pounds at that time, and I used to rip their fuck. Oh, excuse me, I don't want to curse. Rip their arms out and arms. So I was like the gesture. And I used to go home, and I'll say it now, statute of limitations over. I used to go home with $200,000 in cash in my socks. Never reported it, but I was buying clothes, custom suits, $3,000, brand new Cadillac. So when I was a detective, everybody thought I was on the take. I was on no take. I was traveling and I was making money, hard work. And everybody would look at me, and it was always the allegation, bullshit. Got to be taking money from the mob guys. Never a penny, but hard work. I'd go over there, and I love life because there's so much there. And I really hate what's going on with this negativity, with the class negativity, and with this I'm better than you, you're better than me bullshit. We're all Americans, and it's there for everyone. Again, hard work. It's not my color. It's not what I am. I don't believe in giving away anything because they didn't have. I didn't have either. You know, I had hard work ethics, and that's what everyone should have. Whatever you do, if you sweep a factory out, work hard, sweep it faster. I always say to a person, if you're stocking shelves at a supermarket and you're a stocker, all of a sudden now you're going to become the assistant manager of the store. I always say, you know what you do? You thank the person for giving you the job, and you make a move. You move, get a job as assistant manager somewhere else, because all those people in that store are going to look at you like the kid that used to stock the shelves. Now he's the assistant manager. They're not going to have the respect as you being the assistant manager. I'm not smart, but I know that works.
Man, your energy is so good. Do you have like other friends who are kind of like you to keep you on this wavelength if you're having a down day? Because I'm thinking right now, man, I'm like, I need 10 Bos like in my life right now. Like, I'll call you more, but like, I need guys out here in San Diego like you because this energy, it's going to be good for sales, all this stuff, you know?
Well, it all translates that whether you're making $100,000 a month doing what you do, being a coach and all that. You know, it's just funny when you say coach, the guy from the Housewives of New York or New
New
Jersey,
Jersey.
Louis Rillis there, Rillis, whatever his name is, one of these shows, and he's a life coach. And you know what? You ha obviously have the educational background that I saw you have. And again, I wish I had that. If I had your credentials with my energy, I could be the ruler of the friggin' world. And that's one of the things that, you know, it's great to make a nice foundation. I was never fortunate to have that foundation of the education. And, you know, my vocabulary is very limited, and I do fucking cheat. I use AI sometimes when I write letters. I write letters and I use AI because my words come out so much better when they do that, you know?
Do you feel like there could have been more to your career if you had more pedigreed Ivy League education? Because I don't
Well,
see what you
you
could
know,
have done.
I got involved with the politics, but I hate politics. I ran for United States Congress back in '86 when I was on the cover of New York Magazine. They popped me in there. I sat in the Oval Office. You could Google Bo Dietl and Ronald Reagan when we get off the air. Just you'll see the video. It goes on for about 12 minutes with me with Ronald Reagan. I mean, I'm an ex-cop and I'm sitting in the Oval Office, and then one of my Democratic senators, Al D'Amato, turned on me. I would have been a congressman in 86. 86. I ran an area. It was 7-1 Democratic registration. I ran as a Republican. I lost by 2,500 votes. Otherwise, I would have been a congressman. And it was one more thing. My brother, God rest his soul, he was a big backer. He says, you know, Bo, I go by Bo. My real name's Richard. He goes, Bo, you know, you could take this Congress seat. Go there because part of my things was the crack epidemic in the 80s. They were killing people all over. And that was one of my things where, as a congressman, if I had one, I was going to take a sledgehammer and be with a news crew and go out there every time they took down a crack house. I was going to travel the subways and actually try to get mugged by some scumbags and be the congressman getting mugged. And I was going to have like the people going, "What?" And that was going to be my next step to run for mayor of New York City. And at that time, it was 1988, the next mayor thing. I think I would have been able to run in to become the mayor, and God knows what my, or maybe I would have got whacked by some drug cartel that would have whacked me because I would take it out. You know what? You always look at your life. Your life is funny. If I would have turned that way. Now I have one deep thing in my mind that I should have done. When I was a young kid, all the fellas were going into Vietnam, and I wanted to go into Marine Corps when I was 17 years old before I became a cop. And then all of a sudden, they called me on the cops, and I got deferred because I went on the cops. And I have that one blank thing that I never wanted to service. I'm one of the biggest supporters of veterans. Donald Duck Trump is my friend for 40 years. I'm the one who gave him the idea about the veterans' choice, where veterans could go anywhere for PTSD, for medical. He actually recognized me about doing that for the veterans, but never publicly, only in front of billionaires and Lindsey Graham. But that was something I would have loved to have done, went into the Marine Corps. But I always think about it. There would be probably no Bo Deedle.
Yeah.
Because what reason? What reason?
Well,
Because
there's a few. Oh, yeah, go ahead.
the reason I see is when they go, "Hey, Bo, we need appointment in this platoon." I'll go. I'll be first heading up the platoon. You know what? What my obituary would be?
Yeah.
One of those guys over there, one of those North Vietnamese, would have put a bullet through my head, and there would have been no Bo Deedle.
Yeah. No, yeah, I mean, it's funny. You could play the what if game, but if you say, "Oh, I wish I did that," you might not have made it
Yeah,
back.
but think about what I say. If you're always the first one to volunteer as a decoy, be a mug 500 times, guy shoots at you, I've been shot at, the bullets didn't hit me. But maybe just if I went that route, because I know darn well if the captain of the Marines said to me, "Bo, we need appointment," I'll be the point guy. And you know where the point would have been? I would have died in the jungles of South Vietnam. There would have been no Bo Deedle today. I always think about that. It's
Yeah.
funny when you think and reflect on your life. There's a reason why, and what happens, you know?
Well, my two best friends in high school, I hung out with them every day all summer. And for whatever reason, I'm like at the time, 130 pound skinny Jewish guy. And someone's
Yeah.
like, "Hey, Brendan, come out for the high school football team." And I'm
Yeah.
like, "I play tennis. Like, what are you talking
Yeah.
about?" But anyway, I try out and I make the team. And the first day of practice, I'm at practice. And those two guys that I was hanging out with every day, they were smoking weed, speeding around
Yeah.
Long Island. Get into a car accident, one of the guys died. And I was like, I would
Yeah.
have been in that seat,
And also, when I was saying, like in the 60s, it was the dirty little secret in our Italian neighborhood that everyone, we had a heroin epidemic that was worse than any black or Hispanic epidemic, but it was the dirty little secret. But what's going on today, like even my friend Steve Witkoff with his son Andrew, multi-billionaire real estate guy, kind of screwed me over a lot of real estate investment. But that was for him. Maybe one day he'll wake up and say, "You know what? Let me think about my life. Who made me?" Because he only started in 90 when he met me. I introduced him to Lehman Brothers, Dick Fuld, introduced him to Hypo Bank, hundreds of millions of dollars to buy properties. And I never got all the proper documentation. Well, I'm not going to cry about it. But maybe one day he'll wake up and look at his life and say, "Somebody was very important in my life." And maybe he'll give me a call and say, "You know, Bo, I made a little bit of financially. I looked at my financials and I'm missing something here. And you know what? This is something that you should have." But I think I dream a lot with that because sometimes people think money's more important than loyalty and honor. And I'm loyal and I'm honorable. And that's that.
That's awesome,
But
man.
like I said, what's happening is, and kids and anybody listening right now, this thing with this fentanyl is no joke. They
Yeah.
got pills that are supposed to be OxyContin, they got fentanyl in them. Look, I was around in the 70s. We used to go to the bar drinking. Even, I'll say it, even when I was a cop, "Hey, take a hit." A little cocaine, right? You take a hit. Oh, yeah, you feel high. You dance tonight. Studio 54, Adam's Apple, dance tonight, right?
Now, if you do that,
Not,
you could die.
you could take one hit of the alleged cocaine and you're dead. So
Yeah.
people have to understand this is not a game. We lost 120,000 that we know of last year with fentanyl overdoses. Anybody who takes any kind of drugs other than prescription drugs at your drugstore, you're out of your mind. Now, I heard some of these pot shops, the illegal ones, they're sprinkling fentanyl in the pot to give you a better high.
Oh my
Think
God.
about what I just said. So you
Yeah.
could smoke a joint and die.
Crazy stuff, man.
Yeah.
Well, hey, Bo, let's just summarize it right now. Give us one
Yeah.
more good and how can people walk away from this episode, implement good energy, good mindset, physical strength, work ethic? Just kind of summarize. That's kind of what I'm taking away from today.
All you do is make sure one thing is when you wake up in the morning, you're as good as anybody else, but the difference between you being as good as anyone else and better and advancing yourself is the hard work ethic. I'm going to show you something here. Now, this is a $35 million company, whatever the hell we do here. Here, see this little thing? I write things down. I write things down. I follow up, follow up, follow up. I make the calls. And I get through and I make the calls. It's all about networking and making the follow-up calls and working hard. I could sit back. I get a lot of money coming in. I could retire tomorrow. No, that ain't happening. All I want to do is I want to work hard. And if I can teach people about hard work ethics, could go through from when I worked sweeping out a factory, delivering newspapers at 8 years old in Long Island Press back then, where I used to have a route. It was my brother. He was 2 years older than me. I used to deliver 66 newspapers in the morning when I was 8 years old before I went to school at 5 o'clock in the morning. Snow this high. I used to roll across the lawn, put the paper in. Always, always work hard, work hard. That is what you have to take away. Work hard. Don't lay back on your laurels. You see, money's coming too quick and too easy for a lot of people without that hard work and investment. But I still say the hard work investment will lead to your success. And if anything else you ever need, Brendan, I have a lot of respect for you. Your mom loves you. Your dad loves you. And please send my love to your father too. I haven't talked to him in a while.
Absolutely, will do. No, he's been getting involved with TV a lot. He goes on Newsmax now.
Well, I got thrown. I was on Fox 12 years, and that's a whole other story. Rupert Murdoch was a great man. Is a great man. His son Lachlan don't like me because I called him a lucky sperm, and he is a
Lucky's
lucky
been fun.
sperm because my friend Roger Ailes called him a lucky sperm. So he banned me from the Post. He banned me from Fox, and my attitude was in, go F yourself. I really don't have to kiss nobody's ass. When you say negative things, he puts in the paper lies about me, and all I want is retractions. That's all I ask for. And I asked him, I said, if you're a man, let's sit down. Let's bury the hatchet. Roger Ailes started Fox News. Roger Ailes got in trouble because he was telling gals they had great legs and all that. And look, he comes from another generation. When it was an acceptable thing. Was it right? No, it's not right. We've all learned it's things have changed. But Roger Ailes made Fox News, and I stood by him when everyone wanted to beat him up. I would not beat him up. I stood by him and said the good things he did. And I lost my involvement with Fox News, and they won't put me in the Post. I could take out eight terrorists out there, and they won't put me in the New York Post. But
Oh.
my attitude is, if you're a man, Lachlan Murdoch, and you really think that you're something, not just a lucky sperm, that you're a hardworking guy and you deserve to be, sit down with me. We
Yeah.
could bury the hatchet, and I bury the hatchet with anybody. It's not so far where you can't say, if I said something wrong to you, I would apologize to you. But let me give you my side. When you make an allegation that I have a Chinese spy partner, it total lies. When you make an allegation that I hack computers, total lies. I do not want that to be something that you put in your newspaper where people read lies about me. Let me defend myself. And I hate to say it, whether you like Donald Duck Trump or not, I hate the way they're going after him so crazily, the way they're doing what they're doing. Who the hell are you, judge, to define what the value, what the worth of my real estate is? That is so over the top. Again, he's a narcissist, Donald Trump. But the only thing is he's got is he's the only one of the two that could take us out of this doldrum that we're in. And I'm sorry to say, whether you're Republican or Democrat, hold your nose, vote for Donald Trump, because he's the only one that can save this country at this point right now. And that's the way it is. Hold your nose. That's it.
Yeah, no, yeah, absolutely. We can dig into that on another one, but let me just ask you last question.
Yeah.
Who should I have on my show next? Who can you plug me in with? That would be, it doesn't need to be someone famous, just someone
Well,
interesting.
Scaramucci's a great Scaramucci's a great interview, probably the greatest interview I have ever saw in my lifetime. Is
Okay.
Anthony. He did the SALT conference, and I've been at Wallum since 2009. That's the hedge fund conference.
Yeah.
This guy can interview the president. He can interview the prime minister from Britain. He can interview. I brought in there Steve Cohen. I brought in there all these people. He's just fabulous. Anthony Scaramucci. You can talk about Bitcoin because he's Mr. Bitcoin now.
Mr. Bitcoin. Cool, man. Well, I will follow up with you.
And you know what you do? Let him play this little segment to him, send it to him when I just complimented. And I said, hey, Anthony, do my friend Brendan's show, all right?
There it is. It's
you're
on
never
tape.
Too big, Anthony. Remember when you start out, you're never too big.
Anthony, I'm coming at me and Bo are coming after you. And if you don't say yes on the first one, Bo's going to be at your house doing push-ups. We're challenging you to push-up competition.
Hey, he can't even come near me. All right. Have a great day, Brendan.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate the time, and we'll be in
all
touch.
Right. Send my love to mom and to your dad, okay? Thank you.
Will do. Thanks again, Bo.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of The Brendan Burns Show. If it's your first time here, please make sure to subscribe on the Apple Podcasts app or in Spotify. Also, please leave us a rating or written review. This helps others learn about the show and spread the word to new and more people. Thanks again for listening, and have a great day.